Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We're your hosts, Adriana Ame and
Jackie Sanders. We're two art professionals sharing forward the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcast, and you'll be notified when we drop a new episode every Tuesday.
So, on today's episode, we're delving into a topic that is really close to every artist or creative's heart, and that is finding those core unifiers that make your artwork uniquely yours. Obviously, when we all start, you know, we're learning from others and borrowing here and there. That is absolutely a normal part of the process. But as we dive into more of a professional practice, then we start questioning what some of these unifiers are. And if we are not questioning, well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So whether it's visual elements, conceptual threads, crafting some sort of marketing narrative, or venturing into new mediums. These are some of the aspects that tie your diverse, you know, artistic creations into a harmonious whole, like what brings them all together. So the first one we want to discuss, and the first distinction actually that I want to do before we dive into the others, is to make and kind of navigate what the difference and the nuances are between having a recognizable style and core unifier. So as we dive into these, a lot of them may sound like they're very similar, but there's a few key differences with them, and both of them are crucial. The first one is, when you think of a recognizable style, I'd like you to think about like that immediate visual impact that can set you apart from others, right? Like late stage Vincent van Gogh, for example, you may have only seen a few pieces of his, but then you kind of recognize, oh, that's very likely a Van Gogh. You know, we're no experts, but then you'll kind of have an idea. And then some of the other core unifiers could be things that go beyond the visual, where they delve into the conceptual, narrative, holistic aspects of the art. So you may have like another traditional artist that perhaps like they are specifically into, let's say, Degas and the ballerinas, right? Like you look and it's like all ballerinas, and then you're like, it's not just a style at this point. Now there's like a theme going on as well. So those are some of them, but they're not all necessarily just style.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the key difference though, too, is that difference between evolution versus static elements in your style, because your style will inevitably evolve over time. What you make and how you make it on your first day picking up, let's say, a paintbrush, is going to be very different than 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the line. But you have those core unifiers that provide that stable foundation as you evolve. So even as your style evolves, you'll still be able to see elements of what you're making now in previous pieces that you made, or pieces that you're making now, there's going to be tie throughs to the future pieces that you have, which is another key element of making sure that there's an adaptability to your style. So in addition to those core unifiers, you have wiggle room to play and explore and experiment with various visual styles while still maintaining that cohesive identity of who you are as an artist, which brings me to that idea of visual unifiers. So this is what a lot of artists talk about when they say like, well, I haven't found my style yet. That's like a big comment from emerging artists and even established artists throughout their career. Like, what is my style? When you're in that, listening to the voices in your head of like, who am I? What am I making? What am I doing? Those moments that we have as an artist, it typically comes back to the cohesive visual unifiers. Because I'm not sure if you guys have recognized, there are some artists, even if they, let's say a painter, if they paint completely different subject matters, you can still tell that they did this landscape and this portrait and this abstract painting, right? You're like, I don't know how, because the subject matter is all different, but their visual style is the same. And that's the secret between keeping it. So elements that you can use to explore that are things like a consistent color palette. Maybe they use specific colors that tie together in their piece. Maybe they use super, super saturated bright colors, or maybe they have a more muted palette. So no matter what subject matter they're painting, if they're using the same color palette, it's visually cohesive together if you were to have them all in a room together or all on an Instagram feed. Another thing to think about is having signature motifs. So maybe there's a recurring symbol or a theme that is kind of the artist's trademark, so to speak. It could be especially in abstract paintings, maybe a specific mark-making pattern. Maybe it's a specific subject matter in, let's say, realism painting. But that signature thing that you say, oh, I know it's a so-and-so painting because it has these signature motifs in it.
Yeah, and I just recently saw in a couple galleries some examples of artists that were using that. One of them, can't think of the name right now, I apologize, but he hides a miniature beagle that he paints into all his works, which have nothing to do with dogs. So it might be in a leaf, and then you look real close and there's like this tiny little beagle painted in and camouflaged. And then I also know other artists that will do things like they'll either have like a red thread or they'll have birds. There's always a bird in the painting somewhere. It could be a tiny bird, but there's always a bird in there somewhere. So those are some things to think about. Also, there's like actual style elements, right? Where you're thinking about brush stroke techniques, composition. There's something very consistent about it. Like, going again to say some of the impressionists, like some of them like to lay that paint on really thick, right? Versus there's other artists we know where the paintings look almost printed because there is essentially no brush stroke to it. They're so smooth. So those are some things that like start to become, recognizable, of course. There's also medium harmony is another one to think about where you can explore how the chosen medium can contribute to the overall visual unity of the body of work. So some artists, for example, might be painters, but then they might always put in a little bit of collage, or they may always add a little bit of like maybe they do super glossy paintings or do foil as part of what they're using in it. So it goes beyond the style at this point. Now there's other things that they're using on purpose to tie it together, which I love that because I don't know, it's one of those things where, at first, whenever we're all starting out, we show other people, and especially if we're showing other artists, like I did all these things, it feels like a completely different person. And a lot of times, it takes that trained eye from a friend, sometimes an untrained eye from a friend as well, where they'll say, well, you always do this color, or you always do this metallic thing, or you always, it kind of helps you put it together. Because they're seeing the visual piece, right? Now, diving a little bit deeper is when you start going into the conceptual side of it and seeing how that meaning is kind of threaded into the artistic narrative that you're trying to share. And at this point, yes, seeing it has a color, it has foil, it has, whatever it is, that's all about like what people can see. But then the conceptual unifiers are the parts where it's like, what is it bringing it all together? How are they connected in a more profound way? Because if all it is was, let's say if all it was visual and you're just iterating and or regurgitating existing pieces over and over in a way that looks visually cohesive, it's going to end up being shallow over time, right? There's not a lot to dig in. But if there's a little bit more in there, perhaps there's a narrative theme, right? A recurring story or a concept that you want to resonate against. Around the body of work, or maybe there's an emotional one or mood you want to consistently appear. I'm sure we've all seen artists that will do like, there's always a chair in the image for whatever reason. And we're not saying the same chair at this point. We're saying maybe all the paintings are about chairs, different chairs, but or seating, implements, or they're always sad. Like there's always like the sad mood to it or a very happy mood to it. But like it's those kind of things where sometimes it means that style-wise, they may not be as recognizable as the same artist necessarily, but then the theme of it, that's what brings them together, which is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And some, to your point, may be less obvious. It may be like a philosophical thread, where they're unpacking maybe a specific concept from piece to piece. I know, like my work specifically, all of my paintings, the titles are questions, which is definitely a core unifier in my work. So even as my style evolves and changes, maybe the themes of the questions change or the subject of the questions change, but that's a core unifier as the title, but also each of those paintings is unpacking those questions as the thread. And there's also elements with some artists, whether it's super zoomed out, universal idea, like a question that can apply to anyone, versus elements of personal symbolism too. Maybe the artist includes symbols that have personal significance that consistently show up in the artist's work, like the beagle, for example. I'm sure there's a personal significance or symbolism for either that beagle or beagles in general or dogs in general for that artist. But real quick, before we expand on this topic and the artist story, working on new mediums, we want to take a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by our Level Up Artist courses.
We understand that life as a modern artist can be both exciting and overwhelming. Plus, there's a lot of information out there. So, what do visual artists actually need?
We've spent countless hours of trial and error, weeding through tons of information to find the gold, so you don't have to waste your time going down those endless rabbit holes.
In addition to weekly calls, we have created video course modules to cover everything from artist documents to exhibition prep, social media to technology, sales strategies, artist mindset, PDF resources, templates, and so much more.
Ready to get started? Head on over to levelupartists.com to learn more. Get immediate access and level up your career today. Welcome back, everybody. So another core unifier that you may not think about right off the bat is also how you as an artist present yourself, how you present your brand, your work, because this is a piece of your creative journey that really helps collectors get to know you and your work on a deeper level and can craft that narrative from one piece of artwork to the next. So sharing things like your artist journey, sharing where you started as an artist, what influenced your work, and those milestones that you've had along the way that shape the work that you make today allows the viewer to see that cohesive path that you took now as you're explaining it in your marketing narrative, in your newsletter, in your social media, for example. Another thing to think about is also sharing your mission as an artist. So sharing with your collectors and future collectors what you feel like your purpose as an artist is. What message do you want your viewers to see or take away with them when they look at your work? Because this further influences that connection between your collectors and future collectors with the work that you make, but also you and your journey to see those tie-throughs from one piece to another.
Yeah, absolutely. This also helps with your brand identity and helping to explore how your personal brand aligns with your artistic narrative. And what we mean by this is, like, if you present yourself as like this, tough, does motorcycles, loves rock, whatever, and your art is like about musicians, I mean, that's great alignment, right? But if there's kind of like a big difference between the two, then that might throw things off a little bit. And we always want to make sure, those threads always align with what your personal values are so that there isn't any kind of clash. This also helps with your connection with your audience. For you to create that lasting, connection, it has to be authentic. And we're not talking about this not changing over time, because it can, right? Like, our tastes change, as we get older and, through our experiences and everything else. But if you're sharing this through your marketing message, through your artistic narrative as you go, then it's no surprise to anybody, right? Like, you are basically sharing that evolution as you go along, like Jackie mentioned earlier, instead of like a 180 that they go, wait, what happened? You used to paint everything cute, surrealistic, and then now you're doing, like, I don't know, horror stuff, like, what? But you still look one way. Anyway, so we're not saying you can't shift, maybe make it a little more gradual, but you definitely can, especially if you want to have that authentic relationship with your audience, those folks that are supporting you and want to be there for you for the long term. Which brings us to iterating your artistic style and expanding your horizon. So just like I said, you don't want to necessarily do one that 180 suddenly without sharing anything about it, and just like, surprise, I now quit doing watercolor landscapes, and now all I do are, I don't know, ceramic cups. I don't know, making that up for a second, right? Unless there's something that ties them through from one or the other. So maybe there's landscapes painted onto said ceramic cups that look kind of like the watercolors. If there's absolutely nothing that ties the two together, that's going to throw off your audience, like we just said, right? That would be a different audience, actually, that would be interested in cups versus ceramic watercolor versus watercolor landscapes, right? Sometimes it might be the same people, but a lot of times it's not. You know, the ones that are interested in functional versus the ones that are interested in maybe something they consider purely decorative, right? So here's where, you know, us talking about like trying to have those core unifiers really, really comes in, because as an artist, you do want to push your boundaries, you know, and sometimes exploring new mediums is the best way to do it. But there's ways to iterate your style while staying true to that core identity of yours, right? And by that, we mean, like, for example, trying to translate some of the visual elements that you're already using and trying to adapt them. Like in the example I just gave, if what you've become known for over the last, you know, few months, years, whatever, is doing, you know, beautiful, airy, kind of inspirational watercolor landscapes, and now you are trying to translate them into a new medium, how can you bring that over? How can you bring the theme over? Maybe some of that color palette, how we talked about earlier about visual unifiers. Like, how can you bring some of that through, even if you do eventually plan to stop doing the watercolor landscapes? That's fine, but how can you bring some of that over to your new medium? Or just expanded by having both, right? And having something that ties them together. And then there's also, that's the visual, there's also the conceptual exploration, right? So how can you bring some of that over? Again, not just the theme, the visual theme itself, but what else was there that you were working on with that, you know, in our example, the landscapes, that you want to bring over to whatever your new medium is? And, you know, keep it all at least as cohesive as you can. They don't have to look exact, but how can you tie them together?
Yeah, and I think a helpful part for me at least is thinking of the marketing strategy. Let's say, for example, you do want to start exploring and experimenting with making ceramic cups in this example, but you've only done watercolor landscapes. Then there you can have a message that does thread to them together. Of course, it's helpful if there's visual elements as well, but even from a marketing standpoint, you can tie in one of those things we talked about earlier of maybe a part of your personal journey that quote unquote like explains the pivot. Maybe you took this super profound trip abroad and were really inspired by the pottery there, and that kind of ignited a part of your creativity that you didn't have before. That's a very clear element of this is what I was doing. However, you can share the narrative as to why you're intentionally pivoting. Of course, that's a larger conversation of when you let your audience in to every offshoot exploration that you have as an artist, because we all have them. We all have shiny objects that we like exploring, which is a different conversation. But there's an element where you can talk about conceptually how do these two things feel connected to you. But also understanding that there is a learning curve to new mediums as well. We are huge advocates for expanding your horizons, experimenting, playing, and allowing your work to evolve as you feel it needs to, as you feel the drive to. But also understand that, especially with new mediums, there's a huge learning curve to that. There's logistics of purchasing material themselves, the learning the process, having a few experiments that you're going to learn a lot from, and the end product may not be something that a collector necessarily wants. Those are the ones in your studio that might not get on display at an exhibition. But acknowledging that learning curve with the new medium can be helpful too, and really telling of what are the concepts behind your work, what are those unifiers as they translate in a new medium.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few easy prompts that I've seen before in the past for this is like, you know, An easy one is like try to identify like three elements in your work and in your existing medium that you present yourself with. One might be kind of like some of the ones we talked about earlier. So it might be a color that you specifically use. There might be some kind of gestural, stroke or movement that you always incorporate. And there might be something symbolic that you always include. So maybe you always use navy blue and always do the beagle, like in our little example. And there's some kind of landscape element in there somewhere based on where you live. How can you incorporate some of those into whatever new medium, doesn't matter which one? How can you incorporate those in and see what happens, right? And like Jackie said, some things may just end up in the experiment pile, hidden away in the studio, not for consumption, and that is okay too. But as we wrap up, this conversation, just remember finding these core unifiers is a journey, not a destination, right? This is a normal part of the artistic process. They can also help with clarification and clarity for yourself in terms of like where you're going, what you're trying to portray visually, conceptually, et cetera. And this is something that evolves with you and evolves with your art. And as you identify these threads, it's also going to help you talk about your art, right? Like if a gallery is approaching you or you're approaching them or you're speaking to collectors about your work, these are things that also help you with talking points. So definitely worth doing the work to dive into these topics, because ultimately it can only help you. So definitely look into that. But with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's conversation, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode.
As always, our blog will be linked in today's show notes, where you will find episode notes and links to all of our other podcast episodes.
If you want to stay connected with us in between episodes, share your feedback, or have a question you would like for us to answer on the podcast, you can reach us through social media, MMA Art, across all platforms.
And I'm at jsandersstudio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artists on Instagram.
You can also visit levelupartists.com to get immediate access to templates, resources, and course modules to level up your creative career today.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.